So good morning, everybody. We thank Rabbi Sir Jonathan Rapson for giving me the opportunity to speak at this occasion. One of the most vital areas which has to be developed in order to succeed with relationships is the area of communication. We're talking about communication both between husbands and wives and between the parents and children. What communication does, not only is able to express yourself, but communication connects people. You want to be connected with somebody else. If you communicate properly, you connect with them. If you ever notice that if you have a good friend of yours, how do you feel that a person is a very good friend of yours? Because you communicate with them. You can speak their language, you understand them when you speak with them, whether it's a friend, whether it's a relative. But that's what communication does. It connects with people with each other. However, the areas that is lacking in today's society, in today's relationship, is the area of communication, as is very evident from the bestsellers that we have, that when they come out on the communication, seem to be on the bestseller list for many weeks. This morning, I'd like to just give up a kitzer of one of the shiurim that I have called The Art of Communication, which is actually an hour shiur, but I can only condense it today. If you want to purchase copies of it, I have it on CDs and also on tapes outside. First thing is, we'd like to define what communication is. What does it mean to properly communicate with somebody? So some people have the notion that communication means the ability to say what you mean and mean what you say, to properly express yourself. For example, now we'll use, since I think most people or all people are married here, we'll use the example of the husband and wife, because it comes out just much easier to explain the concept. For example, if you feel that your wife did something very foolish or she did something sloppy or silly, and you cannot say that she's foolish, silly, or she did something sloppy, that means you're lacking communication. You have to be able to express yourself properly what you mean when you want to speak about something to your wife. However, this is not true, because according to the Torah concept, there's a prohibition of Anoas Devarim. Anoas Devarim is hurting somebody with words, and it applies to one's wives and one's children equally to somebody else. So just like there's an isser of hurting somebody with words, whether it's a friend of yours, somebody in shul, is also an isser hurting your wives or your children also, even though there's nobody around. If you're in the privacy of you and your wife, while by yourself in the home, there's nobody there, or you and a child, and you hurt their feelings, there's an isser of Einos Devarim. So obviously, we can't say that communication means the ability to express yourself properly, to say exactly what's on your heart, right, to the other person. But communication is to be able to convey what you think without hurting the other person's feelings, and also the ability to listen, to hear what the other person is saying, and make sure that you understand the other person and you're being understood when you're talking. Now, how do we develop communication in marriage? How do we develop this area of communication with somebody else? Well, it's very simple. The way you do it is to communicate, start communicating, starting to speak to somebody else. For example, if a new computer program comes out, the way to learn it, you read the book, the 1,000-page book, whatever it is, but you don't really get a feel on it until you start playing around with the computer and working with it and practicing yourself. Or a new Palm product comes out with all these different, you know, they have a 300-page booklet on how to operate a little Palm over there. So you have to know how to play around. That's how you learn how to operate one of these electrical gadgets. Same thing with communication. In order to develop proper communication with one's wife, we have to set aside time to communicate. To put together time, in other words, that we can call spending quality time with our wives. Now, what does quality time mean? This is a term that's thrown around today in today's language. Quality time means that you sit and talking with each other, focused, and you have nothing else on your mind. In other words, you shut off your telephone. Your mobile phone is on the voicemail. Your phone's on the voicemail. You sit down, and you concentrate, and speak with your wife only on matters socially. That's how you develop communication with the husbands and wives. Now, it seems to be that after the Shana Rishona, after a few years of marriage, it seems that the time of communication between husbands and wives spent together is very little. This is very evident from many cases that I've counseled for husbands and wives, and after only 4 or 5 years of marriage, if I just ask them a simple question, you know, just analyzing what's going on in the home, I ask them, how much time do you have to spend with yourself speaking? Well, they don't know, a few minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. I asked another question, do you have anything to speak about with your wife? I don't know, hello, how are you? This is it, after a few minutes you come in, everybody's busy with their own lives. The wife is busy with her business, the husband with that business, and they don't have any really time to spend with each other. And there's a report that was in the Wall Street Journal many years ago about a survey of how many minutes a day does a couple spend speaking quality time with each other. So many years ago, the report said it was 11 minutes a day. That means 11 minutes a day, a couple will sit down and talk with each other, not on business, not how to do the repairs, how to pick up the children, who has to purchase things from the shop, just to sit down and what we call the old language, sit down and schmooze. Talk, like many, many years ago, if you remember, you're dating, sit down and talk, and just sit with each other and schmooze about something. So that's how 11 minutes a day. That already is already an old figure. In the book that I received, that I read a few years ago on communication, it boiled it down to a half hour per week. A half hour per week divided by 7 is about 4.5 minutes a day. That means an average couple, think yourself, how much time do you really sit down with your wife over a meal, relax, right? Speaking and talking just about social matters each day, right? Make a cheshbon nefesh, you'll see how much time it really is. Now, that's why, unfortunately, there's so many problems today in relationships, because people don't have the time to talk with each other, and they can't relate to one another. So therefore, in order to develop proper communication, the first thing, aleph bet, is to spend time communicate. And one of the problems that we have today is what we call the monotony of the daily routine. That means once the husband and wife get into a certain routine in their marriage, so the husband has his schedule, the wife has her schedule, and they go on through the day and they hardly spend time speaking with each other. Therefore, it's important to put aside time daily, on a daily basis, 5-10 minutes a day to sit down and speak with your wife, to learn what choice to relate to them. Now, some people will ask the question, where do we find the time? How do we get the time to speak? We have such busy schedules. I have chavruses, and when they daf yomi, there's some mesecta erev, such a hard mesecta. The chaz is so many times till it gets to my head. Now we're starting a new mesecta. Keep on moving, and then their chesed work, and it's just the day is full. Where do we get the time? Where do we get the extra 15-20 minutes in a 24-hour day period? There's an old anecdote that started over that once a guy went to a yid, and he asked the yid, why does the yid always answer a question with another question? So he didn't answer them, why not? So you'll ask me, you know, where do you get the time to spend with your wife? I'll ask you, where do you get the time for your other things? When you have other matters to spend, it seems that when something happens that's very important, you have the 10 or 15 minutes to put away. And I can show you very easily how everybody can make 15 minutes a day to spend with their wives talking and learning how to communicate with each other. How do you do that? We get a foundation. We have a Shalom Bayis Foundation by one of the, you know, few millionaires that live here in London. They're putting away some money aside, and we're going to offer everybody £50 a day if they could spend 15 minutes a day with their wife talking socially. £50 a day. That's £350 a week. Multiply it by 4. That's £1,400 a month. Just for spending 15 minutes a day with your wife, I guarantee the list will be full. I don't know if there'd be plenty of money. Everybody would find the time. Where'd they get the time all of a sudden to spend that 15 minutes a day? The answer is money talks. If you're motivated, you want to do it, you will find the time. As the expression goes, Ein dover oim lifnei harotzei. Somebody wants to find the time, they'll make the time. Just imagine, let's say you're busy in your busy schedule. All of a sudden you receive a call from an old friend of yours from high school. And he says, Yanko, how are you? Shalom Aleichem. Who's this? It's Avrami. Oh, Avrami, where are you? I'm in London. What are you doing in London? I happen to be visiting here. I'm here for about 2 hours. Can I come pop over in your house and say hello? Go over old times. I haven't seen you in many, many years. Let's discuss the families, what you've been doing and everything. I'm so busy. I'm busy with work, our projects, but I'm only here one time. I don't know when I'll be in London again. Can you make just 10 or 15 minutes for me? I'll see. I don't know. Come over. We'll give the Ganesha. He gives the Ganesha. So he comes down. They start schmoozing. All of a sudden, you have 15, 20 minutes to speak with him, or maybe even more. Why? Because it's interesting. You found the time. You'll make the time. The person wants to make the time, they'll find the time to do it. So therefore, the aleph bet to develop communication with one wife or somebody else. Anybody you want to do is to spend time, speak with them, learning who they are, to say where they come from, how they speak, and their communication level, which we'll speak about in a few minutes. And that's the way we develop communication. Now, one of the main parts of speaking, we'll speak about just the main part of speaking with the wife, is how to speak to women. And how to understand women, which is a very difficult job for men to do because they're coming from two different worlds. I mean, there's a secular book put out, Men Are From Mars, The Women From Venus, very popular, but a lot of what's said over there, there's truth to it. Not that I encourage reading secular books, but there are certain things there which I'd like to bring out, which is, of course, sourced in the Torah also, about how men and women's minds function. And basically, what we call this is a dominance. What dominates a woman's mind? What makes a woman tick, as they say, and what makes a man tick? What makes a woman tick is her emotions. That means a woman is, but most of them, not all of them, some women are very logical, but most of the time women are governed by their emotions. Emotions means that even though they all could be logical, they'll be in the workforce, they'll be maybe CEOs, and they'll have good jobs, and they'll maybe budget, they'll run the checkbooks and the bank accounts in, you know, for the family, but the Maisa, who's the balabas over the woman? Her emotions. That's the balabas. Who's the balabas over the man? His logic. One word. Woman is emotions, and man is logic. That means with a man, whatever he tries to feel, but whatever he tries to do, is his logic that governs him, that will decide whether he's going to do something or not do something. A simple example. A baby gets up in the middle of the night. He's crying. Whether he's teething, he has colic, he has stomach problems, he has a diaper rash, whatever it is, just can't sleep. Gets up every hour. Those who raise families know what goes on. What do you do? So the first, the woman gets up. She gets up a second time, a third time. Why does the woman get up? Because she's emotionally attached to the child. She can't take the child crying. The child is crying. They've medically proven that when the baby cries, there's a certain hormone that's given out in the mother's body that doesn't let her stay at ease until she goes and stops the child from crying. So it's an emotional reaction. I have to get up to my child. My child is crying. I have to go to it. She doesn't think twice. Let's say she's exhausted. She already got up two or three times. Now she says, okay, Yaiko, it's your turn now. Right? I got up. I can't function. You have to get up to him. So Yaiko gets up once. He gets up twice. And then he's getting tired. He doesn't know what to do. So the third time the baby starts to cry, he starts thinking, should I get up? Should I not get up? If I get up a third time, I won't fall back asleep. I'll miss my chavrus in the morning. I won't be able to function. He's thinking logically back and forth, should or should not he get up? Should he get up or not? After a while, he says, you know, I have to get up because it's my achrayus, my responsibility to my child to get up. Right? All through the logic, thinking logically. That's the way men and women function, and that's, if you realize that, it'd be much easier to relate to them and communicate to your wives. Let's give another example. A man and a woman, let's say you're at a chasana, right? Or an affair, and there's a woman's table, a man's table sitting together. The men are talking, and the women are talking. Now, what are the men talking about, and what are the women talking about? A woman would sit down and say, that's very nice, shaitli you have, very nice, latichal it out, very nice. A gown you have, or an outfit, or shoes, they match, everything's nice. See, the evening bag, whatever, they start talking about all these things with you. Why, how much did it cost? It really doesn't mean they're not going to go and purchase it. They just want to know, you know, just to make conversation. Would you ever see men sit down talking at a table? That's a very nice suit you have. Boy, that tie is in Italy, where's that? France, is it silk, is it polyester? Do your shoes match your pants, you know, your trousers, and what about your socks, all these things? You don't think about these things. What are they talking about? Talking about options, about business, about the electronic gadgets, a new mobile phone came out, whatever. They're talking about these things because that's tachlis. They want to speak about things which are logical. They don't relate to their emotions. So if we try to build around this and we see how men and women functions, we can say as follows. Women enjoy talking, sharing feelings, thoughts, ideas, and dreams. Why? Because women like to make relationships with other people. That's their goal. They don't want to come for a talk. They don't listen to talkless and getting and problem solving. They just want us to, the speaking is a way to make a relationship with somebody else. Therefore, when they speak with their husbands again and again and again, and they figure out something, so that's the way they feel close with them. But men, right, what they do is they focus on solutions, on tachlis, on problem solving. So therefore, when the wife speaks to them, they feel the way to help them is putting on what we call a Mr. Fix-It hat. I'm going to solve all your problems, take care of what's bothering you, but that's what the woman wants. The woman doesn't want the man to solve her problems. The woman wants a listening ear. And if you ask any woman, what would you like the most of your husband to do? Right? If you want something changing, give me one thing you'd like him to do. Most women, if not all, would say, I'd like to have my husband sit and listen to me with fully attentive what I have to say, hear my feelings, and feel for me. Not give me solutions all the time, what to do, what not to do, this is no good, not good. I want him to listen, to hear me, because that's the way women make relationships. And that's how they feel close to somebody else. Let's give another example. Let's say a woman comes home and a man comes home from work, and the wife asks the husband, how was your day today? So he says, it was great. I came to work. I came to cheer at 8:30 in the morning. I came at 9 o'clock. I left. I went to work, went to 10, whatever it is. Had a little coffee and cake. Then we had some clients. Then I had this, and I had a meeting, and I spoke to my boss, and all the things that happened today. Goes through the whole day from 9 to 4, 9 to 5, exactly what went on. Okay? So he says, that was my day. So the wife asks again, how was your day today? So she said, I just told you how my day was. What do you mean how my day was today? And he goes through the whole schedule again. He doesn't know what she wants. When she wants how was your day today, it's how do you feel about your day today. How do you feel about your day on the emotional side? How do you feel? Was it a stressful day? Did you feel you accomplished something? So a man, that doesn't mean anything. What do you mean how I felt? I mean, the main thing is that I have, you know, as I said, the Galton Keshner. Did I make money today? Did I get to my clients? Did I do my job? Did I come on time? That's what it means to him. So that's what he'll tell his wife. He's not going to feel it, but if a woman says, she wants to know how he felt during that day. So therefore, if you're not relating on the same wavelength, you're not talking, you will get sidetracked, you won't be able to speak with your wives properly and create proper conversation. Now let's give an example of this. A woman comes home from work and she complains that her job is very taxing. Right? I have no time for myself when I come home, I'm totally exhausted, I just can't manage it. So what would the husband say? The husband will say, well, just quit your job and find something that you like. Right? A solution. That's not what she wants. But she says, but I love my job, but it's very demanding. So the husband says, just do what you could and that's it. You're not expected to do any more. What does that mean? Again, solution, that's again logic versus emotion. She's trying to express her emotional difficulty that she has with the job, and the husband is giving a logical answer, and that logical answer does not connect to her at all. So the wife says, you know, I completely forgot to call my aunt today. She's in bed, she's sick for weeks already, I call her every day, and I'm so busy, I'm so fatigued, I didn't have a chance to call her. So the husband says, don't worry, she'll understand. Right? Again, no feeling. So the wife says, but you don't know what she's going through. So the husband finally gets frustrated and says, don't worry so much, and you'll be happier. Right? Very simple solution, cut and dry, as they say, that's it. So both of come out of this conversation frustrated. The wife feels that her husband's not hearing her thoughts and her feelings, and the husband wants to help her, but it's not working. Because the husband doesn't realize that she doesn't want help. She wants somebody to listen to her, to feel for her, and say, oh, he will get further. The husband will get further by saying to his wife, you know, I realize you have a hard day today. It's difficult, and you're under stress. If I was in the same situation that you are, I'd probably feel the same way. And that's why she would feel satisfied. That's the way you start opening conversation with one's wife. Another example. Let's give an example of coming home from a holiday. A husband and wife spent now a weekend right together, a holiday from Thursday to Sunday. It was a bank holiday. They're all the way till Monday afternoon. They're able to give their children away to friends, to family, so they're all by themselves. They went someplace to warm with them, someplace else, joined themselves, they're coming back, and now they're speaking over their trip, the journey that they had on the way back to London. So what is the husband talking about, and what is the wife talking about? Right, the wife is talking about how romantic it was, how nice it was to get away, the feeling was so good, being relaxed, to that. And she's talking to her husband. The husband doesn't know, it's not relating too much. The husband starts talking. He just rented a car for this journey, and he's talking about all the high-tech things that they have in the car, or he has a new credit card that he put into the machine, and everything starts working. All the like more action-filled ideas. And she doesn't know what the difference is made, which car, which credit card, which electronic gadget, which high-tech thing. It doesn't register in her mind. So if they don't talk with each other in the same wavelength, if he doesn't relate to her, they wouldn't have an enjoyable time going back. The husband and men have to realize you have to relate to wife's emotions. It's not an easy job. It's difficult, especially I see most people here are not in the Shana Rishona, right? They're quite after the Shana Rishona, not the Razedis anyway. But it's never too late to start. We can start realizing what the problem is and what our goal is a way to start doing it. It's not so much the solution of problems that we have to hear. We just have to hear what the problem is. Because I'll say, Shailut Chacham is Chatzi Tshuva. Once you know what your goal is, what the area is, what we have to work on, so then working on yourself will be much easier. Now, it was proved in a scientific report, this whole idea which I'm talking about. Many years ago, somebody showed me an article in a Newsweek magazine about mapping men's and women's brains. They made some mapping with different colors, yellow, green, blue, whatever it was, and they showed in there how men's and women's brains function in different parts of the brain. And according to this scientific report, they said that women can express their emotions much more easily because what they feel is more easier transmitted to the verbal side of the brain. Now, the way the brain works, the brain is made of about 75 trillion cells, and it's always transmitting signals one after the other. Now, these transmitting signals are called, in medical terms, neurotransmitters. They're transmitting one to the other. Now, the woman's side of her emotional side is transmitted easier to the verbal side. That means a woman could verbalize her emotions much easier than a man. And that's why women have this teva that men don't have. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created women. And that's the specific reason why they did that, which is maybe for a different time I'll speak about. But anyway, that's the way women function. Now, for example, let's give a simple example how this would come out. Let's say you want to make your wife happy on Shabbos. So what's the easiest thing to purchase for her? A nice bouquet of flowers. You go to a floral shop, a florist, go to a flower stand, you know her favorite color, her favorite flower, you put three or four flowers together, five flowers, the little things at the end, green leaves or whatever, put it together, takes 5 minutes, a few minutes to put it together, he wraps it up, the person wraps up the rubber band, a nice wrapping, you give it to your wife, right, it's very nice, a few minutes, you make your wife happy. Now ask the same man, when he gives this bouquet of flowers, to write a note to his wife, expressing his appreciation what she's done a whole week for him, preparing the meals or doing whatever it is. He'll sit down and he'll start thinking and make a whole sigil. What should I write here, honey? This. What should I write there? It's very difficult because he can't express his emotions properly. It takes him a while to do it, and you'll find that men have sometimes difficulty in writing these types of notes. But you don't realize that the notes are worth much more than the flowers. The flowers eventually will wither away; they'll forget about it. But if a woman gets a nice note from her husband showing how much he really appreciates her and what she means in his life, she'll remember that forever. You make a bond. A lifetime bond with that, by using the super glue to glue both of you together. Now, in this report, in another report, a man was once asked to show his affection to his wife. So what did he do? He washed his wife's car. Now, why did he do such a silly thing? The answer is because he feels, listen, if I want my friend to do me a favor and do something good for me, I'd really want to wash my car. I'd really appreciate it. So my wife's car is not clean, right? It has a lot of mud and dirt on it. I'll wash, I'll make her happy. But that's using your logic. That's not what the woman wants. Women don't want something which is logical. Of course, it's a nice gesture to do it, but not to show affection. Now, many years ago, I was once counseling a couple, and a very similar case happened. During the counseling session, the wife complained to me that her husband bought her for her birthday, which happened to be that week, a jean skirt. A jean skirt, and she was very offended by it, why he purchased something very cheap for her. So I asked her husband, right over there on the spot, why did you purchase for your wife a jean skirt? He said, very simple, because she needed one. Her jean skirt was wearing out. So I bought one, using your logic. I said, it's very nice of you, but maybe not for a birthday present. When you're working on a birthday present, what you have to do is purchase something which means more to her. It's good to come home to surprise her and buy her that, but something which is a special occasion, you have to purchase something which has more of a meaning to her. But that's the way men's minds function. Men are more into information. They want more interaction, sharing things which we call nogeya lemaisa, something which is not nogeya lemaisa, right? They won't even discuss. Another story that's told over one of these speakers in Eretz Yisrael. There's once two men that were playing tennis. Every Sunday, they played tennis with each other for many years. After a while, for a few years of playing tennis with each other, one of the wives of the men learned that the other man's wife was going through surgery. She was in the hospital, whatever it was, so the child was busy, but one of her children was going through surgery, not the wife. So one of the children was going through surgery. So she went over to the husband and she said, did you know that your friend over here played tennis with many years, his child is going through surgery. So he said, well, I never knew how many children he had. I didn't even speak to him about it. That's very strange. You know, when women talk to each other, the first thing is how many children they have, what's going on in your family, and this. Men won't speak about that. What's the Gael and Maisa, they say to me, how many children you have, if they're married, not married, let's talk and speak tapas, right? Just information sharing is not what I'm interested in. But that's exactly what women are about. Women like to share emotions, they like to share their feelings, like to speak information, and sometimes to speak with your wife. She'll tell you a whole Ganta Megillah, and you're very happy you spoke with her. After she finished, she'll start the whole thing over again. And so I play again and again, a different akuda here, different akuda there, but she'll repeat it a second time. Why is she repeating it a second time? You know all the information already. The answer is because for her, speaking is relationships, becoming closer. So she feels that if she repeats it again, she'll become a little bit closer to you, so she does it again. The man is just sitting there, he's polishing, when is she going to finish? He can't wait. Is there, when is she going to finish again? The same story again, but they don't realize that this is what women need. Now, if it's difficult to listen to your wife doing this, I can motivate you with a little bit different nekuda, which I say over sometimes also. In Eretz Yisrael, in the seminaries, they have a day called a chesed day, which one day a week they go and the girls do chesed. They go out, they help families clean for Shabbos, help their babysitting. So one of the chesed activities that they do is going to an old age home and speaking with people. Well, you know, never the disability and their degenerative diseases, whatever it is. So the girls, some girls who, you know, who are into it, who can, as they say, can handle it or are able to do it, they will go to an old age home and speak with old people, make them feel happy. So imagine that this girl, so to say, quote unquote, adopted a certain person or two people in this old age home, and then she went to there, and the person that comes down, and they also will see now, every time she comes, the person asks them, hello, how are you, what's your name, where you're from, which seminary, and every week it's the same thing again and again. She has to explain it. And then they tell the same story that they may have been Holocaust survivors. They tell the story of the Holocaust, they tell the story about the Enochluch and about what happened in the previous generation. And it's every week the same thing again and again. Will this girl get bored of the story? Maybe, but probably not. Because why? Because she's doing it for a chesed. Her whole purpose there is to make this person feel good. So how do you make this person feel good? By listening to their story. So if it's a second time, a third time, she realizes that every time she listens to a person's problem, it's another mitzvah chesed. This is what actually the Chofetz Chaim says in Sefer Avos Chesed, that listening to somebody's problems is an act of chesed also. Not just solving them, but even listening to them to make them feel good is also a mitzvah chesed. So therefore, this girl would never feel nothing worse. She's realized she's doing a chesed. So the same thing when your wives are talking with you, just sit down and realize you're doing a chesed to them. Listening to them. Every time you listen to them, hear their feelings. Not only chesed for them, but it's also chesed for you. Because it increases and enhances the relationship. The more the wife is able to express her emotions and feel that she has a listening ear to her husband, so that you'll just gain at the end. You put less time in now, if you don't put in time now, unfortunately people have to put in more time later, going to therapists or people to speak to them, past their relationships. Just a little bit of time every day to listen to her, and that's the way you build a relationship. And listening also, the other part of this is listening is an art. You have to show you're listening to your wife. The first thing to listen is to give eye contact. Look at her when she's talking to you. Who was greater than Rav Moshe Feinstein, who went through Shas hundreds of times, Shulchan Aruch hundreds of times, never wasted a minute. But when he went away on holiday during the summer to a place called the Caspian Mountains, and then he used to learn Tanakh, when his wife came over to him and spoke to him, he would close the Tanakh and look at her. That's what he would do. So the first thing, when your wife is talking to you, look at her. Leave your phones alone, leave your mobiles alone, leave your pages alone, leave the emails alone, leave your mail alone. Sit down and say, I'm listening to you. Give her full contact. Look her in the face. That if you want your wife to listen to you, you listen to her, she listens to you also. You have to show that you're listening to your wife. Nod your head, give her full facial and eye contact, and that's the way you'll feel best to share your work on the communication between husbands and wives. Thank you.